Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much. Well, joining me, thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always, being able to hang out with you and share some ideas and bring you some tips and tools and some best practices, maybe a little motivation, maybe a little inspiration. That's my goal. That's my singular professional goal in life, is to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. And we've got people who join me every hour, a couple of folks an hour to help us do that. And one of those people right now who's with us is Charlie Fuel. Charlie is president of Charlie Fuel and Associates. It's an organization that helps organizations and the people who run them make sure they put their best foot forward in the marketplace. And I think I told you, he's the president of Charlie Fuel and Associates, and he's our friend. Charlie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Cultivational leadership. Now, I've heard of a lot of different kinds of leadership, but I've never heard of the word cultivational. In fact, I'm not even sure I've ever heard the word cultivational before.
You might not have.
Did you coin that term, Charlie?
Well, yes, we actually did, and just a few weeks ago we came up with that term. It was a way to try to identify a practice or a style of leadership that we find to be uniquely different in the marketplace today, and it helps companies sustain success for the long term.
Cultivational leadership. Now, folks, I know you've heard of cultivation, cultivate, but cultivational. All right, so tell us what that means.
Well, simply put, it means the practice of growing and developing the members of your team.
Mm-hmm.
While in every small business, a potent combination of management and leadership is necessary for success, people who take it to the next level, if you will, are more cultivational in that they're working harder at developing the strengths of their team members. And that's about amplifying the gifts that their team members bring to the organization. They provide them with resources. And Jim, the word you just used, they inspire their team. They
mm-hmm.
stir them. They stimulate them. They rouse them. They cause them to do things where people in just management simply control and give orders and direct.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different style.
And the two different teams, two different working environments, two different ways of life, and probably two different results.
Absolutely. And I'll say right on the front end, this is not for everyone. I have been, more than one time, I've been asked to leave that's crazy. If people want to work, I'll provide them a job, and that's it. I don't have time for this. So there are only certain kinds of people that cultivational leadership will appeal to.
Well, cultivational leadership, as I understand what you're saying, is a way of understanding that the people who work for you have goals in their lives. They want to accomplish things. Maybe they just want to accomplish it with your capital. That's the difference between an entrepreneur and an entrepreneurial employee, Charlie, is an entrepreneur wants to go out and risk everything they have to have their own business. An entrepreneurial employee wants to risk everything you have with your capital, but it's their risk they want to take with your capital. But those people want to be inspired. They want to be led, but they also want to become leaders.
Yep.
And it's our job. I think the highly successful small business owners in the 21st century will be the people who pull off what you're talking about, whatever, regardless of what you want to call it, folks, who pull this off by saying, you know what, you want to be successful in your life as one of my employees. I'm going to do everything I can do to help you become successful in your assignment.
You know, Jim, let me give you a little foundation to see if you'd agree with this. And my research has found that in many small businesses, we sometimes don't have a very clear recruiting process due to the fact that our pants are on fire a lot of the times during our day-to-day life. We try to find someone, and we stumble with that, so we so to speak, hire someone that can fog a mirror. And then I fight that employee way too long.
Mm-hmm.
My objective is, if I can help small companies understand the power in recruiting the person that you just described, the person that, listen, what do you want to do in your life? And if we team up together, if you can work with passion in my environment, I can help you succeed, you can help me succeed. That whole recruiting process is different than just putting an application in the paper.
But,
I think you'd agree.
But I've never heard anybody say, identify the problem better than you just did, Charlie, when you use the term pants on fire. Because I'm telling you, folks, when small business owners, and those of you who are, know what we're talking about, when you have an opening in your business, it makes you sick to your stomach. You can't stand the fact that you've got a slot that needs to be filled. Because you know that you're not the best in the world at getting that job and getting it filled, and you're frightened, Charlie. I think people are frightened that they're not going to get the right person, and they're sick because it's going to take them 6 to 12 months to get the new person up and going again and to find out if they've made the right decision, when all they'd have to do is listen to you. And try their best. Take a deep breath and try their best to be patient. Patience is not typically an emotion that enters into small business hiring, is it?
No, sir. Matter of fact, I'll give you one secret. I'm writing a new book, and the subline of that book is sometimes you have to slow down and go fast.
Yeah, really well said.
And one other thing that I would say around this, you see, is that we don't, in small business America, we don't spend enough time, if you will, and what I call anticipatory thinking. Mm-hmm. And that is, Jim, if I'm able to grow my business 5 to 10 points every year over the next 3 years, what will be my employee needs? What will be my infrastructure needs? And if you couple that with the U.S. Bureau of Labor stats that say by 2012 we're going to have a shortfall, then what am I going to do to cultivate and grow my team, and therefore, so I don't lose them, if you will?
Well, I'll tell you, you're talking about the U.S. labor stats about a shortfall of workers, of employees,
yes.
Is that what you're
yes.
talking about? Well, I think that ship has sailed, Charlie. I don't think we got to wait to 2012 or whenever the date is. I think it's already happening right now, even as we speak.
I agree with you, and therefore, even more strongly, the point is, what do I do to cultivate and keep my team members and grow their strengths so they don't want to leave? How do I keep them engaged? Mm-hmm. How do I do that?
Folks, the reason I pointed that out is because, you know, I don't want you to feel that you've got any kind of time at all. I don't want you to say, well, you know, wow, I've still got a couple, three, 4 more years before this is going to be a problem. Let me tell you something, folks. The Bureau of Labor and Statistics is, you know, I don't know what they're measuring when they say 2012, but I'm telling you, the problem that you've got with finding and hiring and keeping the best people, that issue, it's on you right now. 20 after, we're going to be right back with Charlie Fuel. He's going to have some ideas about how you and I can deal with this a lot better today.
I hope I'm in a Soho doorway, a policeman. These things that I love come to an end.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out using Beard Advantage. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is where the show is in all the different ways you can listen online. You can read articles. You can check out our Brain Trust members. You can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out our blog. And on archives, thousands and thousands of past interviews that we've done, and they're arranged in categories, handy dandy categories where you can look for the topic that's on your mind and find something there, an article or an archive or a Brain Trust member or a book or something that will help you. So check it out, smallbusinessadvocate.com, and of course our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. I hope you use those to your advantage. No barrier to entry at all. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Charlie Fuel is our guest. He's president of Charlie Fuel and Associates out of the great city of Memphis, Tennessee. Charlie, give us your website too, please.
www.charliefuel.com.
Charlie Fuel, and that's F-E-W-E-L-L, Fuel, like fuel, but it's spelled F-E-W-E-L-L, Charlie Fuel and Associates. Okay, Charlie, we're talking about cultivational leadership. Give us some more ideas about, let's say we got somebody listening right now, and they're saying, okay, Charlie, you've converted me. I used to just employ people. Now I want to lead them. How do I do it? 1, 2, 3.
Number one, I think it's very important that with your current employees and with potential future employees, that the first thing I find that needs to be done is you have to set very clear expectations of performance. Even though, as we talked about a few minutes ago, my pants are on fire most of the day. The most successful companies understand that people have personal needs around other areas. They're motivated to work with commitment and passion by more than one thing, not just money. Mm-hmm. So when I set those clear expectations, I have a collaborative conversation that says, so here's what you want to do to succeed. Here's what I need for you to do. Let's come together and figure that out and set clear expectations. Number one, expectation. Number two, the leader must model the behavior. One of the most obvious causes of workplace conflict, which, if you will, prevents production, prevents passion, prevents enthusiasm, is the fact that the leader says to do one thing, but then behaves in another way, and the employee looks at that and says, well, he or she says do this, but they do something different, and therefore they say, I'm not sure what to do.
Example. Let me give you an example of that.
Come on.
Folks, if you hear, if an owner talks about, develops material, marketing material, talks to customers about all the great service they provide, how dedicated they are to service, et cetera, and that's the whole corporate theme of customer service is, you know, excellent customer service. And then when the opportunity to deliver on that happens, and the owner says, well, we're not going to do that. That's where it breaks down. And that now you've got a manager, a leader, who's not respected by his employees.
Absolutely. And then the employees become confused and they, so to speak, disengage.
That's right.
So
that's
if
exactly
you're not
right.
getting the performance from your team, you may be causing that by just what you described, Jim.
And you could do all the offsites, you can do all the training, you can tell everybody how wonderful you are and what your intentions are, but if you don't walk the talk, you just blew it out the window.
Absolutely. And your people won't engage. So number one is expectation. Number two is modeling that behavior. Number three is continually, frequently measuring progress. Too many times in corporate America, we do this annual review thing, you see. But measuring progress is a day-by-day, week-by-week thing where I encourage my team to grow day-by-day and not just once a year through, well, are we going to have a raise this year or not?
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the very foundational things, you see, those expectations, as an example, around skills, knowledge, and attitude are key. That model of behavior is key. And when we go into a company to help them, we assess where they are currently, and we ask the employees, what inhibits you from personal success? And we get their feedback. Then we measure their behaviors, their habits, what they do every day. And then we, if you will, give them a best practices model, which begins with communication.
Mm-hmm.
Things like developing a playbook, building scorecards. I mean, so many times, Jim, we find that employees don't know how to win in their job. They're hired, as I said earlier, my pants are on fire. Can you fog a mirror? You've got experience in this industry. Get with it. We'll talk later.
Mm-hmm.
And then that later never comes.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I don't have any communication. I don't know how to win. And so it's
there's another element too that bridges their assignment with the corporate goals. In my opinion, and I think this is important, Charlie. And that is to ask your people as you're trying to solve and accomplish corporate goals, corporate strategies, and solve corporate challenges. Ask your people beyond their own assignment. Ask them what they think. What do you think about this? I think, and that's another way of getting them engaged, isn't it, Charlie?
I couldn't agree more, Jim. When I sit down with business leaders and I talk about having this open forum, just like you're talking about, and they say, oh, well, you know, Charlie, that just really turns into a big gripe session. Well, quite frankly, you need to have that because that's where you find out what
right.
your employees think. Yeah, that's
well, you can have ground rules, though, for a meeting. You say, okay, folks, this is not the gripe session meeting we can have later. This is about how to solve this problem. We need solvers. We need problem solvers, not problem finders. How do we solve problems? And you got to let them get involved in the process, don't you?
Isn't that right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Charlie,
Absolutely.
Give us that website again, please.
www.charliefuell, charliefuell.com.
Hey, Charlie, thanks for being here. When's that book going to be ready?
By first of the year.
Okay, you're going to launch it on this show, right?
You bet.
Okay, we expect that.
Okay, Jim.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. See you next
Thank
time.
You.
Charlie Fuell, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Quick break. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Eric to take us out.
That's all I've ever promised. If you please.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.